We want to look at Psalm 103. We're going to be in this psalm till right after Labor Day. And we're going to be looking at verse 3. I've broken this up into two sermons. We handled forgiveness of sin last Sunday. I had planned on including that, but I couldn't do both of them in one. So we deal with He heals all our diseases or your diseases. Let's read it to you. He forgives all your sin. He heals all your diseases. Let's pray together. Would you bow with me before the Father? Let's tell the Father that we love Him today. From our heart to His heart, may He hear from you. We love you, Lord. And then let our prayer move to being grateful, to being thankful. Who He is, what He does, how He reveals Himself to us, how He leads us through. Give thanks. Let the Holy Spirit tell you what to be thankful for today. As we're before the Father, let's pray for other people too who overlap into your life. Lots of folks are suffering the grieving from loss, sickness. There are people who need spiritual direction. They need emotional healing in their life. They need financial freedom and how to get to that point. They need Christian friends and Christian relationships. Would you pray for these people who overlap into your life? Let's give them to our Heavenly Father this morning. Let's pray for the nations. We're asked to, we're commanded to. Let's pray for Ukraine and Russia, for the peace there. Don't ever give up on that. Pray, continue to pray, even out of desperation, pray for that. Pray for what's going on in the Middle East with Russia, Gaza, Hamas, with Iran. Pray for all that's going on there and God's guidance in that. Pray for nations you have an affinity to and for. You've traveled there, you've ministered there. You support ministries in those lands. God can sweep a nation. Biblically, He has done it. Recent history, He has done it. Continue to pray. And then as we ask that, let's ask Him to sweep our nation too. That our hearts would turn to the Lord. That means you and me, not them and those, but us. May our hearts turn back to Him again. Take a moment and pray a blessing over those who are literally around you, in the row you're sitting, before you and behind you. And then also take a moment and pray a blessing over your families, wherever they may be. I believe in the blessing. Pray your blessing over the offering today that you give. Either you brought it or you did it electronically or you'll give it later. We exist to take the gospel to the world. You'll see in housekeeping in a little bit some of what we do with your offerings, as we have a mission video to show you today. But let's ask the Lord to bless our gifts today. And then remember, there's a greater gift today, and that's you, for the Lord to use you, to transform you. You may be here to receive a word from the Lord today. You may be here because you need transformation in your life today. Ask the Lord, because you are a blessing. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us today. You see me differently. I'm your preacher. I'm your teacher. On me is a greater judgment, and just good old boy language. You're tougher on me than anybody in the room. You expect more out of me than anybody in the room, and I know that, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. So in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach, amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. Thanks for blessing us. And we did make it through half of the first week of school for some of you, didn't we? We made it. We're in Psalm 103 for a while. Until after Labor Day. Then we're starting a series in the book of Daniel on Sunday morning. And I've encouraged you to go ahead and continue reading or begin reading Daniel. Fascinating book. Daniel is a fascinating man. I'm intrigued by him and how the Lord used him and his obedience. He just was faithful to the Lord. But we're dealing in Psalm 103 with starting to deal with the five benefits of grace. And we've handled the first one. The first benefit of grace is he forgives all your sin. We handled that last Sunday. Today, we're handling the second benefit of his grace, and he heals all your diseases. If I were you, I'd want to hear this sermon. You know, you're going, well, this sermon really doesn't apply to me. It will, in some capacity, apply to you. Just know that when David wrote this, he wrote forgiveness of sin and heals diseases together. He compiled them together. We're handling them one at a time. But he put them together, that they're really in the same basket, that the need of our forgiveness and the healing of diseases. It can also mean that he's talking about the disease of the soul and the body. Just remember, we live in a fallen world. There are bad things that happen to good people. I can ask major questions and even include one that's my son-in-law. At 31, he's such a good guy. You know, so gifted. And Tom was a math teacher, and one of his students pointed to a chair and said he could teach that chair how to do algebra. And you're going, at 31, you know, at 31, you've had those questions. I certainly have those questions. We understand people dying when they get older. We understand that. But we don't understand why bad things can happen to good people. And we live in a fallen world. It's a fallen world. It's so incredibly, it's sin sick is what I call it. That you and I can look and we could point a lot of directions and go, well, they're the problem with our nation or our world, or they're the problem with culture and society, when we don't even look in our own sin. Doesn't Jesus handle that in the teaching? He says, you're talking about the speck in somebody's eye when you have a log sticking out of yours. Yeah, and I know that's not a funny statement, but I just picture a guy with a log, like a big telephone pole sticking out of his eye, you know? And we look at it and we realize our sin attributes to the same downfall that we accuse everybody else of having. So we can point to them and those when it really is our sin too. I say this a lot at a funeral. First of all, I deeply believe it, but one reason death is gained to the believer is they're removed from this sin-sick world. They're not tempted by sin ever again, ever. And death, Paul says, death becomes gain. That's one of the reasons. So both forgiveness and healing are our greatest needs in our life, me and you. Our greatest needs. Our forgiveness and healing in our soul and in our body. A man by the name of Estes, he wrote, the use of the word all here indicates several things. It's the spiritual sickness of our world, the emotional sickness of our world, and the physical sickness of our world. I know when you and I read, he heals all our diseases, we're taking all the diagnoses that we've ever heard and just start enumerating them. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But the word all here, translated wise, is a picture that a soul disease and an emotional wound and a physical sickness are all in the same basket. There's really not any difference. They all are detrimental to your life. So we're not just talking about medical diagnosis here. We are. But we're not talking about those things that are alone. To the believer, I say when God heals, not if he heals. I say when God heals, but that begs a greater question in our life, and it's where does God heal? Does he heal here or there? That becomes the question of where his healing occurs. When it comes to emotional healing or heartbrokenness, that's our mission statement here at Hope Church. It's Isaiah 61:1. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is on me. This is a verse that the Lord used. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, sent me to, there it is, heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, those who are bound by the lies of the enemy. That can be emotional disease and healing. Then we've got the spiritual part of it. We just handle it in verse 3 that I just gave you, but I go back to 1 John 1:9. And this is one we handled last Sunday. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive them, dismiss them, our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Remember, healing of our sins, the forgiveness of our sins, and the healing of our bodies are two of the greatest needs of mankind. Nothing else. Those two rise to the top. So when God does his healing here, it's for very specific reasons. He's drawing people to who he is. Some of you may use the fact that God shows off. I don't use the word that he shows off. I use the phrase that he shows us. It's not a showing off. It's a showing us. And it's a showing of his power and his strength. When he does this healing, it's very specific. Let's look at Mark 2, 1 through 12 for just a moment. I'm going to read all of them, so hang on, okay? If you hadn't had your devotion, it's here. When he entered Capernaum again, after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many people gathered together that there was no more room, not even in the doorway. And he was speaking the message to them of the gospel. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic carried by four men. Verse 4, since they were not able to bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above where he was. And when they had broken through, they lowered the stretcher on which the paralytic was lying. Seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does he speak like this? He and this is blasphemy. He can forgive sin. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Right away, Jesus understood. He was able to read their mind, which he is yours too. Right away, Jesus understood in his spirit that they were thinking like this within themselves. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart?" He goes, "Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and pick up your stretcher and walk?' But so that you may know," he healed this paralytic, and this, lots of reasons, but verse 10 becomes the reason. "But so you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he told the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home." Immediately, he got up, picked up the stretcher, went out in front of everyone. As a result, they were all astounded and gave glory to God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Remember, the glory goes to God here. Go back to verse 10, if you will, that he did this for a very specific reason, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sin. He healed a man physically so that they would know he could forgive their sins spiritually. So when a healing occurred is for very specific reasons. And it was to show who he is, not a showing off, but a showing us who he is and his strength and his power and his ability. His scripture doesn't cast away the use of medicine. I will never ever tell anybody not to take their medicine. I'll never do that. First of all, I've got a house and a family full of caregivers in the healthcare field. I have cousins, Julie, Laura, my daughter-in-law. We have tons of those. So but Scripture doesn't say cast it away. I want to remind you that one of the disciples who wrote the book of Luke himself, and then the book of Acts, so Luke would be volume one, Acts would be volume two. Do I have to remind you what he did? He was a doctor. Don't forget that. So what knowledge we have of the body today and the treatments that we have to be able to give the body today, I believe that knowledge only comes from God himself. I believe he gives that to him. But hang on, we still need a touch of heaven when it comes to our bodies. Amen. We still need that. Even David wrote, and man, I've almost highlighted this one in Scripture in the Psalms. He said, "Lord, even my bones ache." You know? And he didn't have meloxicam, you know, like we do today. So the point of it is there is suffering that occurs in the body. There's a breakdown that occurs in the body, but we still need the touch of heaven. I'm always grateful for what care anybody can have when it comes to health care, but I always ask for the touch of heaven. You're going, well, Pastor, how deeply do you believe in healing? I believe when a normal cut turns into a scab, that it's the work of God. You know, when a cut becomes a scab and it's healing, I think it's all because of what God has put in order, even in our bodies. So in Scripture, it can point to very specific stories or instructions when it comes to the healing of diseases. There is obviously the picture of our faith in him. There is the anointing of oil. There are the prayers of faith. I think this one's kind of gross, but I'll leave this up to Jesus. He even spit in some dirt and made it mud and used it as a healing ointment. That's fine. That's his choice. There are washings in certain bodies of water. There are told to go show yourself to the priest. Even in the Old Testament, when the people were disobedient and they were being bitten by venomous snakes, the instruction was to get a pole. And to get a pole and to put a serpent on there. And when people were bitten by the snake, they looked to the pole and then they were healed from that. I want to remind you that that story comes out of Numbers chapter 21, verses 4-9. And we won't show that on the screen. But do you know that our medical logo today, Kim, if you'll put that up, our medical logo today is a picture of that story, the caduceus is what that's called, that it is a picture of that story of, now not all of it is. And from my memory, I think the wings represent peace. I think the rod represents 23rd Psalm, with your rod you comfort me. And then the snakes represent evil, and it means that medicinal practices help get rid of the evil. But we use that today. Do you understand? We use that as a logo today that comes out of the Old Testament story of Moses leading the people. Even the forgiveness of sin can lead to physical healing. How in the world can that be? Well, it's the removal of stress. I mean, your insides, I won't make this a time of a medical session for us, but our insides, we become tense and strong. It affects our diet. It affects the digestion process. It affects everything. Even the forgiveness of sin can lead to physical healing, the removal of stress and even depression. That's why I believe David wrote it together, that he forgives all sins and he heals all diseases. But even in the demonstration of his power over even death, just remember he raises Lazarus, but ultimately Lazarus still died. I had an old country preacher once tell me, he said, Jeff, if the Lord healed everybody, nobody would ever go to heaven. And you just need to understand, the goal of God is not to keep you here. The goal of God is to use you here, but not to keep you here. What he has in store for you, he absolutely has prepared for all the believers. And what he has in store is far greater and vast. But you and I will get to thinking this is all there is. When the truth of it is from Scripture, if you're into movies, this is just the prequel. What we're doing here determines what happens to us there. Remember, he is a God of reward. So even with Lazarus being raised from the dead, he ultimately, his ultimate healing wasn't here, it was there. I want you to remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 5 through 9. And this is why we need to, we're told to set our mind on things that are above, set our minds on things that are eternal. We're told that over and over in Scripture. And the one who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us a spirit, the Holy Spirit, as a down payment. So we are always confident and know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 8, and we are confident and satisfied to be out of the body and at home with the Lord. It's okay with us. Therefore, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to be pleasing to him. That's what we do in our act of obedience. So Paul, healing is still a matter of where. Does he heal me here, or does he ultimately heal me there? Daniel Aiken wrote, he said about sin and sickness, he said this, sin destroys our relationships. And it does. It will destroy every relationship, I promise you that. While sickness and suffering may actually deepen our relationships. There is a, the Lord says in the Old Testament that in our afflictions, he visits us. That he is there with us. That it even makes a deeper, stronger relationship. A man by the name of Kinder said that healing may even be denied you. And it was with David in the book of Samuel. It was with Paul. He said, I have pleaded with the Lord that he would remove this from me. And this is where we get the verse, Paul, I'm strong when you're weak and my grace is sufficient for you. But I also want to remind you that Hezekiah was told he was going to die, and yet the Lord extended his life 15 years. He did that. So there's pictures in Scripture where healing is denied here. And then there are points where healing, he extends life for an extended period of time. But the goal of the believer is to ultimately be home. And home is not here. Paul says, my citizenship is not here. I pay taxes here. I vote here. I have a physical address. So do you. But ultimately to the believer, my citizenship is there with him, awaiting that day. A man by the name of Lennox wrote, he said that healing is a foretaste. Healing here is a foretaste of the ultimate healing there. For those of you and those of us who've had family who doesn't have mental clarity in their last days on this earth, whether it was just basically old age, whether it was dementia, whether it was Alzheimer's, all those things to the believer, it could be all of them. But in that, I'm reminded of the Scripture where Paul says, we only know in part here, but one day with him, we will fully know. That the best clarity you will ever have is not your best day on earth. The best clarity you will ever have is when you are safely home with the Lord. And for all those who have suffered that, I try to remind them the promise of Scripture that one day they will absolutely fully know. The 23rd Psalm, and I've been using this a lot lately. I guess the 23rd Psalm is used mostly when you're encountering and you're needing to be comforted when you're grieving. But I've been using it a lot in my personal life. And we know the first part of it, the shepherd does the leading. And a good shepherd is ahead of you and leads the sheep. He doesn't get behind them and drive them like cattle. He's ahead of them leaving it. But this is the part that always gets me. I've told you before, I'll tell you again. In the middle of it, when we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, it says he is no longer ahead of us like the shepherd. He comes back and he becomes the personal escort. In our darkest days, I love Jesus for a lot of reasons, but this is one of them. In our darkest days, he comes back and gives me and you a personal escort through the darkest days of our life. He's not ahead of us. He comes back and he's right beside us in the valley of the shadow of death. But just remember that at the end of the 23rd Psalm, we end up in the house of the Lord forever. That's the goal. That's the goal. Some people go, you know, the goal of Christian life is not heaven. It's just to be able to walk with him here. I'm telling you, I surrendered my life because I didn't want to go to hell. And I'm going to tell you that right up front. I'm as close to hell as I'll ever get. But some people right now are as close to heaven as they'll ever get. And you need to know that the goal is heaven. Even the Lord himself was asking to go back to where he once belonged because he knows what he has in store for all of us. This is all still under the picture of just know, does the Lord heal? The answer is yes. But the deeper question is where? Here or there? If he heals here, it's for a specific reason. Not only to heal you, but he's not showing off. He's showing us something very specific. But then there is the continual promise, always, that he will heal us there. The 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not give up, Paul writes. Even though our outer person is being destroyed. Hallelujah. Right? It's just this old body. This the house. It ain't what it used to be. Though our outer person is being destroyed, here's the truth of the gospel. Our inner person is being renewed day by day. As my old body breaks down, the soul in me that he has saved is looking more forward to being with him than ever before. Verse 17. For our momentary light affliction, Paul says, everything you go through, and there are people who have gone through more stuff than you, and there are people that you've gone through more stuff than them. But Paul says all of it is momentary. It's temporary and it's light. It is producing for us an absolute, incomparable, eternal weight of glory. Compared to what he has in store, go back to verse 17. Everything that he has in store for us in glory is weighty. It's huge. But he calls all that we go through here on this earth a momentary light affliction. Verse 18. So we do not focus on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Does he heal? Yes. Again, I'll tell you, it's a question of where, here or there. Either one of these shows his power, his promise, and his strength. But listen, when you pray for people and with people, and you pray and you give thanks for all kinds of things when it comes to whatever they're going through, you need to ask above and beyond that for heaven to touch their life. I don't ever quit doing that. I pray a prayer of healing over them. I give thanks for all that's going on. But then I ask for heaven's touch upon their life. A man that I've studied named Francis McNutt, he said there are three forms of sickness. Three forms of sickness. One form of sickness is the sickness of the soul and the spirit. It's sin. Two, there is the sickness of emotions, those wounds, those lies we believe, places where we've been crushed emotionally. And then three, it says there is sickness of the body and diseases. But McNutt also addresses all three of these and said there are four ways to pray concerning these three forms of sickness. He said the four types of prayer, he said the first one is a prayer of confession and forgiveness and repentance. He said the second one is a prayer of inner healing for the emotional lies and the woundedness you may have. Ask the Lord to heal those. That's the Isaiah 61:1. He heals the brokenhearted. Three, there is the prayer of healing itself for the body. We may give thanks for treatments and awe and care, but we ask for the touch of heaven. And then four, it's a prayer of deliverance, just the demonic influence that is there. But in all of these, we are commanded to ask. And we lay it with him. Do we go, and Lord, I trust your will? And the answer is yes. I trust your will. Because for the believer, it's the question of where. Healing here or ultimate healing there. For both of a person's greatest needs are forgiveness and healing. And both of those come from God. And that absolutely is his grace to us. The benefits of grace upon us are the forgiveness of sin and his healing. Would you pray with me? Let's pray together. Father, you don't overlook a thing. Overlook a thing. Whatever we go through here on this earth, Lord, you more than make up for in all of eternity. And it sounds like we've made that up, but that's not us making it up. That's your promise to us. And so, Lord, in health or in sickness, our faith and our trust is in you. We'll never quit asking you as long as we have the opportunity to ask. We will always ask. And we thank you for the opportunity to ask. But we trust you. And Lord, I know if you never heal me here, I know that one day, you will heal me there. And heaven is perfection and its peace is going to more than make up for anything that I have on earth. So use us, Lord. Use us. Our living here is, and our aim is to please you. And we want to please you. We want people to see your strength and your power and your promise. We thank you that you forgive all of our sins and you heal all of our diseases, emotional, spiritual, and even physical, that we have you to go to. Lord, thank you for your grace. We don't deserve it. You've given us, we didn't earn it, we don't deserve it. And it's an incredible gift. And we thank you for the benefits of your grace by forgiving our sins and even healing. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. We pray together. Amen. The invitation is this. Go ahead and stand, church, if you will. Counselors, would you find your place here today? Would you come here? And the invitation is this. Whosoever will, for whatever reason today, come. There are people here to pray for you, pray with you, and even to pray over you. And you're welcome to come. It's Planet Fitness here. No judgment here, okay? It's just that we all need that. And specifically, if the Holy Spirit's leading you today, then you come. Team's going to lead us. You respond.